Okay, there we go. You're good to go, David.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for your continued interest in the subjective influences through the 10 seed groups. This is a continuing class. I previously have, in September and October, I talked about the telepathic communicators and the trained observers, seed groups 1 and 2. So today I'll be discussing seed group 3, the magnetic healers, and I'm also combining seed group 8, which is the psychologists. I'm putting the word esoteric in front of them because that's basically, according to what DK was talking about, is basically the psychologists of the new age, quote unquote, will be working with that mindset and understanding. So in today's talk, I'm going to be relating the healers and the psychologists together and showing how they collaborate. And I'll be making some concluding remarks also. Also with this talk, I'm only going to be talking for 90 minutes. So an hour and a half from now, I'm going to have to stop because I got some personal stuff I have to deal with. So, but the entire PowerPoint and my notes will be available on Makara soon after this talk, or sometime later today after this talk. So this human constitution chart, which BL said is it should be in the chat, or there's a link to it. I know you can't probably see this very well, but it basically you basically have the monad, the spirituals, triad, and the soul, and the lower personality displayed here. And the reason this is important now is because there's the concept of the healer and the patient and how they're ideally functioning on the following planes. The healer, magnetic healer, we're just going to call it just the healer, connects with the higher levels of the mental plane where the soul dwells, or with the Buddhic plane, makes connection with the Buddhic plane. And the healer will also be working with what's called group healing, which I'll get into in a little bit. The healer will invoke the higher hierarchical energies from the Buddhic plane, or higher energies still from that. For the patient, if the patient is stuck in the lower 18 subplanes, the magnetic healer will move the consciousness to the level of the soul on the mental plane and heal the personality. Let me minimize this information here. There we go. And the healer will be working with the patient to remove blockages and to connect with the plane of the intuition, help the patient connect with the plane of the intuition. So with seed group 3, Alice Bailey in Esoteric Healing said, only in this age and generation is it last possible to impart the laws of magnetic healing and to indicate the causes of those diseases originating in the three inner bodies, which is basically the mental, emotional, and physical forms. The Tibetan Dwal Kul tells us the magnetic healers of the New Age will have little or no resemblance or relation to the work of the magnetic healers in the world today. The term magnetic healers in today's world indicates or includes all health workers, medical professionals, and those working in research developing new drugs or medications. Ideally, they work with compassion and with scientists to manage crises, such as currently administering COVID-19 vaccines. But in a large part of this healing profession of today, it functions around bureaucracies of insurance, drug companies, short-sighted medical schools, and healing and service is being rendered, but it is considerably muddled as it is mostly business-oriented instead of its greater potential of a service-related activity. Within these fields, medical fields, there are those who are working as magnetic and radiatory healers, using the energies of their hearts and their minds to radiate healing energies from the soul level. Their true work has not been fully realized by the healing community, perhaps because they are working with a community that still has not recognized the soul as the primary healer. FYI, the radiatory healing involves healing blockages to soul connections, whereas magnetic healing involves working directly with etheric energies of the subtle body, such as the chakras and the vital energy flows. For the magnetic healer to optimally function, he or she will possess an understanding of the organization and circulation of spiritual force and will have eliminated any blockages within him or herself that could impede the flow of magnetic and radiatory vitalizing forces. So to help bring about balance in the individual's mental, emotional, and physical life and health, the magnetic healer will facilitate healing the personality of individuals in all aspects of their nature, that is, in the mental, emotional, and physical, through right organization and circulation of force. The Tibetan tells us that the magnetic healer of the future will work at three different levels. One, when working with a disease with the individual, whether in the body or mind, the healer will transmit healing energy from the soul's living force directly into the patient. The magnetic healer can also work on mental levels by telepathically conveying buddhi or illumination to the patient for dispelling illusion. These both have the effect of working with the cases, with the causes of disease, and not with the outer effects. The healer may work with the nadis, or in the etheric body, to increase the vital focal points of energy. The next level the magnetic healer will work at, he will facilitate healing of the personality by intelligently working subjectively with vital forces, pranic or life energies in the etheric body for dissipating disease and healing the break between the human and deva kingdoms. Working from the soul level, he will know whether to direct radiatory or magnetic healing energies. As a result, he will be gauging the type of healing and determining which tools to use, and will be directly healing, using healing energies towards specific objectives. Thus, the magnetic healers will study the laws of health and right relationship, which are the laws of life. Magnetic healers will study the laws of health and right relationship, which are the laws of life. And the next level at which they could be working with will be the healing at the group level. The magnetic healer must identify in consciousness with the hierarchy of masters in group formation and not as a separate individual. This will enable coordination and healing of the group patient, thus allowing the group to become an instrument for distribution of energy. The group can be anything from an NGO to a corporation to a nation. For individual healing, the magnetic healer will work from the level of soul and learn to transmit healing energy from the soul's living force directly into the patient. This will assist with purging their lower psychic and etheric nature from illusion, which is the source of illness in the etheric and vital bodies. This implies the healer has a considerable amount of soul infusion. For this type of healing to work, the magnetic healer will work with the patient on different levels. The healer, him or herself, will have already built an antahkarana for directly accessing energies emanating from the spiritual triad, such as buddhi at least, through the soul. To facilitate healing and help the patient to personally evolve, the energy of buddhi will replace any aberrant astral energies causing psychological complaints. And also with individual healing, this type of work will inevitably heal the lower three etheric centers, such as the sacral, the heart, and the solar plexus. Healing on the individual physical and subtle body level. The magnetic healer will work intelligently with the patient's vital forces of the etheric body and have the ability to locate the origin and source of disease to facilitate healing, thereby relating cause and effect. They'll also work with healing of the personality, which can happen by working subjectively with vital forces, pranic and life energies in the etheric or vital bodies for dissipating disease. The centers of the etheric body or in the etheric body must be brought into balance with each of the endocrine glands. The magnetic healer will help to heal the etheric body to become the vehicle for right reception of force and energies, especially in the solar plexus center. This will bring balance to the nervous system through the nadis. Nadis, N-A-D-I-S, those are the energy currents that are flowing through the etheric body. The healer will also help bring balance to the heart energy as the soul, the center of life. The individual can be taught to use breathing techniques such as pranayama for controlling the vital forces of the etheric body. Patient will learn the proper use of this technique to bring the physical body into a vibrational alignment with the etheric body so that there's a homeostasis or a balance brought about. Then there's healing also, but the magnetic healer will be working at the healing at the level of the personality. They will consciously meditate and mediate and transmit living force and energy of soul between the dense and subtle bodies or the etheric body to enable the treatment of mental, emotional problems and thereby facilitate right organization and circulation of force. So this is basically helping with the flow of energies throughout the etheric body. This will cause an equilibrium and rhythm in the entire etheric body to occur. The magnetic healer can also work on mental levels by telepathically conveying illumination, such as buddhi, to the patient for dispelling illusion. These both have the effect of working with the causes of the disease and not the outer effects. From this healing work, the concept of right human relations, cooperation, and eliminating competitive or me-only response are brought forth. So an underlying theme here is that the healer, whomever she or he is at whatever level, must have a considerable amount of soul infusion, soul development, their antahkarana must be developed to a certain or considerable amount to be able to even make contact with the spiritual triad and bring forth the buddhi energy. So there is a concept, that I want to impart, and it's basically, there's going to be a theme here, which is going to come up through other seed groups too. So I want to put this out. We have the concept of what makes us heal. If we say prana and breathing techniques helps unite the mind, the body, and the emotions, much of the traditional medical authorities are doubtful of this concept. In today's world, there are basically two modalities of healing. The first is the Western medical model, which is basically very allopathically focused. They understand that the thoughts and the emotions are rooted in the brain, and healing can be of the physical body and can be altered by drugs and surgery. So their concept is the idea that healing is the absence of disease in the physical body. And they also have the concept that we are healthy until a bacteria, virus, or wound invades the physical form. Then there is what's also called the complementary or alternative medicine. Now, this is, we're basically talking about what is in today's world right now. I'll get into some of this a little bit more with the complementary and alternative medicine. But their concepts are basically medical practices and techniques which have been around for thousands of years. You have Tibetan, Ayurvedic, Chinese, and healing techniques, which are widely used and known or in many countries around the world with excellent results. they work with establishing a mind-body connection. This is crucial to guiding the health of the patient. This type of healing is about our body, mind, and emotions and working with the environment. The goal of the practitioner, the healer, is to assess and determine balance versus imbalance in the body. And we're talking about bodies, plural, which is mental, emotional, and physical, physical slash etheric. Then they also make an assessment, the complementary healer, and they make the they do an assessment, and they determine that exercise, herbs, diet, yoga, acupuncture can be recommended to help the body and the mind heal itself. So it's a major mindset and difference between the Western model, which says, let's do drugs and surgery to heal the body from a disease or virus or whatever. Whereas the alternative healer will work with the concept of allowing the body to heal itself. And what are the means we can do to make that happen? There's also a consideration of the relationship of the patient and with their doctor. There's a certain rapport that takes place. For example, if you're going in for a particular surgery, whatever it is, it can be a minor surgery, repairing the tendon in your hand. So you'll be interviewed by the surgeon, they'll take x-rays and all this type of stuff, and they'll interpret it. And you establish a certain emotional and psychic connection with the person. It's all subtle. You don't think about it necessarily, but you know, do I trust this person? Do I feel good about them actually doing the work? So this contributes to the patients, you being the patient, your healing process, because they want to involve you in with the healing also. There's considerable amount of studies that show that this rapport can be an overriding force for healing the patient. Now, in many studies that I've found that this can be a placebo, and there's excellent studies to support the concept of the placebo. Our ability to generate and influence our own healing is tremendous. So it's the surgeon, the healer in today's world, if they are excellent at what they do, they will establish that rapport with you and make you feel at ease, hopefully. That is the ideal. So the concept here is establishing the necessity for creating a bridge between modern Western medicine and complementary medicine. I'll touch on this a little bit later when I talk about how the psychologists and the healers work together. But basically, an example of this can be right here in Arizona. There's an organization, a hospital called MD Anderson. It's a cancer center. And they use traditional surgery and drugs in combination with complementary or alternative medicine. And the examples being nutritional therapy, acupuncture, and yoga for healing the patient. So the major point that I want to stress here is that, do we have the courage to review data and scientific studies that challenge the reigning scientific paradigm? This is a comment on confronting traditional practices versus alternative or an incoming understanding. And I'm going to cover this more when you get into other C groups, for example, with the politicians, with the political organizers in the January and February, where they have a particular mindset about a philosophy or a belief system, and it's being challenged by a new incoming idea and understanding. So it's understanding that we have the Western medicine here versus alternative medicine. And both of them are working parallel. And there's many people that are obviously already trust the alternative medicine only. And that can have consequences. But you can also have consequences too, certainly with traditional Western medicine, as we all know. So I'll just leave it at that. And I just want to put that point out there. Continuing on the concept of the magnetic healer, let's talk about briefly about the concept of soul livingness and radiance. This is coming from the healer, him or herself. When the healer is engaged in a service-related or healing activity, he is expressing the soul's consciousness. And this connection has a radiant quality or livingness to it. Originating from the soul, livingness is composed of light and love moving through the healer's consciousness freely into the patient. And its qualities, the qualities of livingness is that it's an awareness that is a vitalizing energy and a presence always in the background for the healer. It is seen and felt as a radiance from the soul that becomes part of his consciousness to allow the higher nature to easily and naturally flow through him. You can also think of it or tune into it as a prompting energy to practice harmlessness, integrity, and compassion with individuals and groups. As much as the individual makes the effort and identifies with that soul energy, he can become that living radiance and can set his intentionality from that place. Thus, the soul's livingness gives him purpose, intention, and direction when it is present. So I'll stop there for the moment and ask to see if there's any questions.
I don't see any hands or chats yet, so.
Okay, well, I will continue then. Let's talk a little bit about group healing. Tibetan says healers will work together in group formation as outposts of hierarchical intention. This will enable coordination and healing of the group patient to allow the group to become an instrument for distribution of energy. Healers will operate as intermediaries between the plane of soul, the intuitional plane, and the energy of will. So basically coming basically from the spiritual triad. The plane of soul being the mental plane, intuitional plane, and then you go to the energy, the will, you're going basically going up to the monadic energy because you're working directly with the hierarchy. And it's designed to initiate healing the individual patient or group of patients. The group idea must be understood in that the healer will not work with the individual, but as part of a unit or group in a collective sense. This is important. This is an important way that the individual parts of a group can be assisted and released from what holds them back from the greater evolution. This will differentiate New Age methods from current ones as the work will be oriented and group focused. This in the long run will also help to coordinate the patient's personality by fusing it with its soul to provide an instrument to facilitate spiritual energy or the flow of spiritual energy. In the coming Aquarian age, healers will work within a culture that is sensitive to the finer energies of the soul, the spiritual triad, and higher values, such as cooperation and goodwill. This will go a long way for healing civilization from the thraldom and effects of glamour and illusion. And lastly, the magnetic healer will help the personality develop a continuity of consciousness and overcome the fear of death. There's a lot of information here I'm putting out, and it obviously I can't talk about all this, like, for example, overcoming the fear of death. If you go to the Alice Bailey's book, Esoteric Healing, there's a whole section there on, let's see, what is looking at the table of contents. There's a whole section there that Alice Bailey wrote, chapter 5, the process of restitution, nature of death, fear of death, purposes of death, the art of dying, etc. And there's also a compilation out on called Death, the Great Adventure from Lucis Trust. You can also get too. With DK and Alice Bailey's comments on that, end quotes. So we're back to group healing, we also can talk about telepathy and how it facilitates group work and alignment. Continuing on the theme that subjective energies are influencing humanity, the primary objective of the healer is to establish group integration and intercommunication between group members. This happens through telepathic communication. to do this work, the mind of the spiritual individual, the healer, must become telepathically sensitive at will in two directions. First, towards the world of the soul. Telepathic person is responsive to ideas or concepts coming to him from the world of the soul and the world of the intuition. And secondly, the other direction is the light worker, or the patient in this case, is also sensitive toward the mind of everyday humanity. They send and radiate a particular thought form and can influence the mind and activities of world thinkers, such as in politics, religious organizations, education, and many others. This work must be carried forward selflessly with soul consciousness and with complete freedom from personal prejudice or personal choices. Are there any comments or questions on this?
I don't see anything yet.
All right. Continuing. There are GK mentioned in esoteric, in externalization of the hierarchy, the Tibetan, said the there are three tasks for New Age healers. He says they will help in the New Age. They will help in manifesting a synthetic endeavor in the three worlds, which leads from the plane of the soul to the outer plane expression. To do this, the healer has three main tasks to perform and will work at three levels of healing. For tasks one and two, this will be psychological and psychic healing. These are subtly different, but they're related. In esoteric, in externalization of the hierarchy, DK says the work is one of the hardest to carry through because the bulk of the consciousness of humanity is found to be predominantly upon the plane of illusion. Also from the same book, DK says every initiate is a magnetic healer, and this is a statement of fact and suggests a willful use of divine energy as a healing source. The initiate's ability to act as a magnetic healer works predominantly in the realm of inner psychological readjustments and psychic disentanglements. So they're basically working on the astral levels, working on the astral body. They possibly could be working with the third chakra, the concrete mind, solar plexus, and certainly can be working with other the endocrine glands too, and anything that's causing disease or psychological problems or ill will, as you will, in the etheric and psychic form of the person. So all of this work by the healer would have the effect of releasing the lower psychic nature from illusion so that the psyche or the soul, the psyche of the personality and the soul, can have full sway and guide the personality. The third task would be physical healing. And of course, this is the healing, as we mentioned before, the etheric body, the chakras, centers, and therefore affecting the outer physical form as a viable instrument for service. If an individual's body is just composed of unprepared, lower and dense matter, it is not possible for the higher vibration of the soul, the soul's light, to permeate the etheric body and to have an impact. Purifying the physical form can come in the form of eating better, exercising more, and even enjoying pure prana from, and also to a walk in nature. Inevitably, this is the bringing forth of energies onto the physical plane emanating from the soul plane via the mind. And we're basically just talking straight healing of the physical body, and we're excluding the emotional astral in this case. So again, the healer will function as being a conduit for healing with divine energy. Healer would also employ methods and techniques for purifying the chakras. And if successful, the task of the healer would involve the utilization of the healing energy in full waking consciousness upon the physical plane, simply by visualizing energy moving throughout the etheric body. And of course, the patient can be encouraged to also visualize and even become sensitive to the healing energies that the healer is putting out. So we can think about what has already been accomplished by healers, even in today's world, and going forward into, quote, the new age. Since the Tibetan defined how the healer will be functioning in the new age, we can list a number of already happening soul-inspired healing activities in today's world. And we have homeopathy, we have naturopathy, we have Chinese medicine, such as acupuncture and herbs, herbal medicine and essential oils. It's the understanding that man in his lower nature and three vehicles is an aggregate of lesser lives, such as elemental and Devic lives, and that plants and the mineral kingdom can work together and they'll help bring a balance in providing healing. There's Ayurvedic medicine. It's a system of medicine based on the idea of balance in bodily systems, in the bodily systems, and it combines diet, herbal treatment, and yogic breathing. Nutritional awareness, of course, involves the use of vitamins and supplements, which are commonly available through hospitals and by physician referral. This is all happening in today's world already. There's women's and children's health awareness. There's advanced knowledge on obstetrics and children's health, as we know. There's advances in allopathic practices, such as diagnosis, advanced technology, such as using CT scans, MRI, ultrasound, and the concept of disease prevention. This can be an awareness for keeping the body healthy with regular exercise and physical fitness, as we know, yoga classes, hiking, bicycling, martial arts, anything physical activity, being involved with that. There's, of course, numerous outpatient procedures which have been developed recently, whereas in 25 years ago, they were non-existent. And this keeps the patient from going or checking into a hospital so they can get their procedure done through a single procedure in one day, or even a morning or an afternoon. There's advanced techniques in dentistry, as we know, and preventative maintenance too is a very strong concept. There are teachings and trainings around color, sound, aroma, and massage therapy. There's a common concept of massage therapy with acupressure also, not just acupuncture with Chinese medicine. There's a promotion of awareness around consuming organic and non-GMO or genetically modified organism foods, but being much more healthy. There's emphasis on vaccination as a prevention and promotion of conscious awareness and the concept of protecting others. Concept of protecting others is an extension of, oh, by the way, you're being of service to helping other people too, by making sure that you're not passing a, quote, a disease or bacteria to someone else unknowingly. Many techniques that are taught in clinics and also even in hospitals are visualization techniques. This has been done well over 50 years, and it's also done at the Olympics by athletes who are training in something called autogenics, which is basically visualizing energy moving throughout the body and visualizing you as the athlete successfully doing whatever activity you're doing. It's more advanced than that, but you get the idea there. Are there any questions at this point? Anybody have any comments or questions?
We did have a question about the references that you were going through. And so a number of people had joined since I first put the link.
Oh,
so
okay.
I put the link in there to your slides because you have a lot of those references in the notes section there.
Okay.
But then you also mentioned the compilation from Lucis Trust. So I got that link to the Lucis Trust Death, the Great Adventure.
Thank you.
So.
Yeah. Putting a lot of information out there, I know. Okay, so let's talk about healing practices in the future and the aim of the physician and medical procedures or practices in the future. So it'll be designed toward preventative medicine, which we're already we already have that in our mindset today, an attempt to keep the physical and the subtle body in proper order and being balanced, and discover through vitality and the laws of magnetic vibration, radiation, and prana what is preventing the soul from permeating the whole being. So it's a concept on prevention where the healer will see such as the spleen, for example, as a focal point of pranic emanations for healing the etheric body. So there will be a concept of trying to establish the right amount of exposure or influence from the sun, just talking about the spleen by itself. There'll be talking about preventative medicine. There'll be an understanding about right methods of assimilation and elimination for neutralizing problems of stomach and bowels and kidney and digestive systems. This much of this is already being taught based on the concept of right diet through colonoscopy and other preventative methods. Generally, this is an awareness around sound sanitation and hygiene and proper diet too. DK talked about the supplying the right chemicals, which it could be vitamins and nutrients, into the physical body. This is already being done with nutritional awareness, right, to vitamins and nutrients. The effects are well known around alcohol consumption and smoking, toxins in the environment. The examples of this could be, we have lead in the environment, we have low dose radiation, we have something called radon, R-A-D-O-N, which we find this in concrete, in foundations, in buildings around here, the West. We find it here. It's a radiation that can actually be detected with a particular device. And this affects the cellular structure. There's documentation on this. Also, we know that bad air and water pollutants can cause neurodevelopmental disorders, such as autism. There's much documentation on this already known and developing. We can learn to change attitudes on death, when the body is giving out, and when it's time to let go. We can cultivate an understanding of allowing the soul to dictate when one's life has been duly worked out, as Alice Bailey put it. And that is, the karmic purpose has been accomplished and the life force should be withdrawn. And BL, as she mentioned, she put a reference to the Lucis book compilation on Death, the Great Adventure, in the chat. Magnetic healers of the future will also be studying and comprehending the effect of thought forms and emotions and how they are causing inertia and preventing right flows of prana through the nadis with the nervous system. This will become a study of the science of the centers, the nadis and the centers, and in emotional currents, and observe their effect on the endocrine system and the glandular system. There will be a study about how goodwill, the action of the will of good and right intention or motive, will help to heal diseases in the respiratory tract, in the lungs, the throat, and stabilizing the cell structure in the brain, which will help cure addictions and obsessions. This is an acknowledgement that the use of the mind is a major factor to contribute in an individual's health. We're talking about not only the mind, of course, we're talking about the consciousness of the patient or the individual. They'll learn to have a healthy attitude about their own health through eating right foods again and exercise, and that the concept of energy follows thought becomes a major axiom that drives the person. And they'll have an understanding of that. In esoteric healing, DK says advanced disciples or initiates will be able to demonstrate mental control over certain glands for controlling the physical organism through the power of thought for overcoming disease. The healer, the magnetic healer, would function as a soul-aligned intermediary between the plane of spiritual energy which is either soul energy, intuitional energy, or will energy, again, emanating from the spiritual triad directly into the patient. And the healer would have the ability to locate the source of the disease, thereby relating cause and effect, and to know the exact point where relief can be offered. And this concept is already being done by homeopaths, naturopaths, and acupuncturists, and even people that are doing acupressure with massage therapy. They're localizing where do you have the pain in the body? It's in the back, it's in the legs, whatever. And so they focus on that particular part and render the healing there. So on the magnetic healer, is there any other thoughts or ideas on this? Anybody have any questions?
Nothing yet.
All right. So let's move into seed group 8, the psychologist in New Age. The major task of the psychologists in the New Age will be concerned with the revelation of the soul leading to the revelation of divinity in humanity. This knowledge will aid man in intuiting and instinctually relating to the soul's existence and the subjective side of life. By revealing the factual existence of the soul, man can relate that aspect to the personality, the physical, emotional, mental, showing how the soul expresses through the human being. In externalization of the hierarchy, DK indicates that there are tasks for the psychologist to perform, such as they will study the relationships between the three subhuman kingdoms, namely the mineral, the plant, and the animal in nature, and show how the human kingdom functions midway between them. This entails emphasizing a developing soul awareness and right reaction to the energy in any form, whether between individuals, groups, and the subhuman kingdoms.
David.
Yes.
Sorry, we got a question from Salandria. If a person is in the healing profession, then are they probably in the magnetic healer group?
Well, I would say definitely. I would say, yeah, because in a broad sense, the healers are anything from nurses to medical technicians, to the doctors, the surgeons, to the nutritionists, people working with chemotherapy, I mean, everything. Those are all in massage therapy, acupuncture. These people are all in the healing profession. The challenge of today's world is, you know, Western medicine versus complementary medicine, as it's so-called, that people are not necessarily coordinated with higher techniques of working at the soul level. They may be on an individual level, but as a society, and as culturally on an international level, it is not recognized strongly yet. It is on many different individual circles and places, but it is not widely accepted yet. And that is yes, you're having magnetic healers are working in many different forms around the world. And magnetic healing, once again, refers to basically physically affecting the healer, physically affecting the individual on the etheric level predominantly. And of course, radiatory healing is basically working with permission with the patient to heal subconscious problems, perhaps traumas and psychological issues.
And Joe asks, do you include Reiki in this group?
Well, most certainly, of course, yes, because that person is possibly closer to imparting soul energy more than almost anybody else. Because they're actually, I hate to use the word channeling, but they're basically allowing their body to act as a conduit for that energy to move through them directly into the patient. So yes, Reiki is definitely a method of healing, magnetic healing.
David?
Yes.
I would like to also send a shout out to people like Harold Moses, who spent many years working with the cancer patients. He's a musician.
Oh, yes, of course.
And he would give treatment through his music to the
Yes, I forgot to mention that. I mean, you have somebody like Stephen Halpern back in the 1980s, 70s and 80s. I think he was from the San Francisco Bay Area, I believe, but he used to scientifically design music for healing purposes directly. And certainly all the music that Harold Moses has done most certainly is healing the soul and healing the personality. Absolutely. Listen to Beethoven's Ninth, the fourth movement, you know, the Ode to Joy. I mean, it's like, that's incredible healing for invoking Buddhic energies practically. I mean, it's that wonderful, that level of music. Mozart music can be absolutely incredible because it works with incredible harmonies, beautiful coherence within the music and the notes and putting them together and hearing that flow and how it's synchronously working together. I mean, absolutely, music is definitely part of that. So, yeah. Any other questions, comments?
I can put Harold's website in the chat if you don't mind.
Oh, please, of course.
And then that's all I've got, so.
Psychologists will also act as transmitters of illumination between groups of thinkers and show how the plan appears to be working out in the five kingdoms in nature. There will be a new teaching. This is coming from the teachings of Bailey and DK. A new teaching will come forth by the psychologist, esoteric psychologist of the soul, and it will be based on the seven ray types and the new esoteric astrology. This teaching will use techniques between soul and the personality, leading to the revelation of divinity within the individual and or group. Work is already being done by those esotericists and astrologers who interpret the individual's astrological chart with an understanding of the rays and soul unfoldment. So this is already happening in some circles. Psychologists will understand the qualities of energy and force of ideas and the flow of light from the soul. And it is from the soul and its interactions which characterize the different groups. And this will be studied very carefully. Regarding the soul and the plan, psychologists will study the plan and how the soul appears to be working within the five kingdoms in nature. It'll be apparent to you or to humanity that the teaching connected with this group will be more definitively and academically occult in its significance than that will be the case of others. For it will be based upon information contained in examples like the Secret Doctrine and a treatise on cosmic fire. It will be founded upon certain premises contained in those volumes. Therefore, the members of this group of disciples will be of a more orthodox or academic persuasion. They will be theosophists by nature, and academic by disposition. Future psychologists will provide a context and understanding and definite governing laws about how the soul functions through members of leaders of all the seed groups within society, such as politicians, scientists, educators, economists, and thinkers, or even broadcast journalists, as we saw last month with the trained observers. This will affect people. It will affect those people within society who set goals for economic and social endeavors. This understanding will eventually cause a shift in the minds of the public and society. So with this understanding, we're speaking generally here, man will be acknowledged as essentially divine and is a fragment of the universal mind. The teaching by the psychologist will be that the unity is possible on the plane of mind and will generate tendencies toward group affiliation on the mental plane and lead to the recognition of group relationships and the ultimate goal being a conscious continuity of the said group connection. So if you have the recognition of the group relationships, it's understanding the dynamics, the soul connections and dynamics going on to establish that group and its viability. There'll be an acknowledgement that man, with understanding and the use of his three vehicles, mental, emotional, physical, as a means for expressing the divine self in consciousness within government, economics, and social settings. This awareness will eventually cause transformation in medical knowledge, resulting in a truer understanding of the physical body, its treatment, and producing an understanding of the laws of health. When psychology is risen to the level of right soul expression, and from the philosophical new teachings and education will be the result. Education will shift to psychological attributes and their contribution to the whole, and the concept that human unfoldment will be seen as a soul functioning through all forms. There'll be a teaching on the ability or having the ability to contact and recognize ideas that are shaped in the higher mind of the soul. This would be a teaching on using higher aspects of the mind, such as the abstract mind, or understanding that the mind has different sections or parts, concrete mind, abstract mind, and manas, and invoking buddhi from the plane of the intuition. And they will work and teach, they will teach and work with the synthesis of ideas, and the psychologists will act as transmitters of the energy of ideas and illumination from the radiance of the soul between groups of thinkers, and thus impact the entire realm of group thought. The science of psychology. In A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, G.K. says, man is essentially divine, and man is in fact a fragment of the universal mind, world soul, as it manifests through the human family. Therefore, unity is only possible upon the plane of mind. He notes that this is true and must lead to the tendency to develop within the physical brain a conscious realization of group affiliations on the mental plane, and a conscious recognition of group relationships, ideals, and goal, and conscious manifestation of that continuity of consciousness, which is the object of evolution at this time. So that's a lot to put out there, but it's basically understanding, again, the dynamics of how groups work and the group energy. And once we work with this energy and understand from the plane of mind, we will see the concept of how the physical brain can work together with the higher mind of the soul. They'll come to realize that man in his lower nature and his three vehicles is an aggregate of lesser lives dependent upon him for their group nature and their type of activity and collective response. This is basically talking about how the David kingdom will work with the different aspects of the mental, emotional, and physical level. With these facts understood within society, this realization will bring about three changes in human thought. The entire social world of thought will apply itself to the understanding of the emotional nature of humanity, to the group relationships involved, and to the interaction between individuals and other individuals, between groups and other groups. These relationships will be interpreted wisely and broadly, and man will be taught his responsibility for producing a right direction of individual force and its utilization and stabilization. So he'll basically learn to, what is the right use of energy and force? I'm going to talk about this when I get to Seed Group 5 but more extensively when we talk about the right application of the will energy, for example. Men will be taught how, in the educational world, there will be an apprehension of man's true nature to bring about a fundamental change in the methods of teaching. There'll be an emphasis laid upon teaching people the fact of the ego or the soul on its own plane and the nature of the lunar bodies and the method of aligning the lower bodies so that the soul or the ego can communicate directly with the physical brain and thus control the lower nature to work out its higher purposes. The individual will be taught to control through concentration and meditation, how they can ascertain knowledge for themselves, basically in meditation to directly connect with knowledge for themselves. They learn to develop the intuition and can thus draw upon the resources of the soul. Then man will be taught to think and assume control of the mental body and thus develop his latent powers, basically soul powers or soul energies. TK also talks about, coming also from Cosmic Fire, the concept of a readjustment of medical knowledge, resulting in a truer understanding of the physical body and its treatment and for its protection, and thus producing a just apprehension of the laws of health. The aim of the physician will then be to find out what it is in the man's life which is preventing egoic or soul energy from flooding every part of his being. So what is preventing the soul energy from flooding every part of his being? We'll find out what lines of thought are being indulged or worked with in which is causing that inertia of the will aspect, which are so conductive to wrongdoing. In other words, if you focus on the energy of selfishness and hate and separatism, you're obviously causing blockages in your personality. And the nature of the healer and even of the psychologist would be to assess that information and to help you unblock those energies so that the energy of the soul can flow uninhibited. So in essence, what the psychologist will be doing in the future will be understanding and teaching what is true for the individual will be true ultimately for the group and ultimately for the entire human family. The plan for humanity concerns man's conscious unfoldment, ultimately. Any comments or questions on this?
Tia is mentioning the healing group that Nicole does, you know, and Joe, and they have a number of programs, and I will put a link for their Makara page, which will then take you to their YouTube page. But they have an extensive program in a variety of languages. So thank you, Tia.
Yeah, and something I didn't put in here, that brings up the concept of those subtle healing, which is basically like radiatory healing, or it can be linked into that concept of where you're healing at a distance. And that can be the form of, which is basically using subtle energies, which is, for example, the Great Invocation. When you're working in triangles with somebody, you're basically invoking the energies, presumably from the soul or higher energies, of the will aspect, of the love aspect, and the intelligence aspect that's coming through the three major energies. And those energies are connected out there and they're connecting with other groups that are doing the same thing. And you're strengthening the thought form. So that's subtle healing of the planetary subtle body, as it were. So what have the psychologists accomplished in proving that the soul exists? This is a large subject, and it's just for the beginner, the beginning process, understanding this. DK made the prediction that, I don't know which book he made it in, but he basically said that it will be just the fact that the soul will be discovered in France. And I believe there was something in the early third of the 21st century, which means sometime in the next 10 or 15 or 20 years. So the ageless wisdom tells us that during the evolution of man's consciousness, he becomes aware that he is a mediating factor between the monad or pure spirit and the personality, and as a result learns to consciously link spirit and matter together. Realizes the soul of humanity of which he is a part has a unique function to perform in mediating between the higher three kingdoms in nature and the lower three. Man realizes that the soul is expressed in life and finds that there's intelligence and subjective consciousness and communication found in all forms in nature and the interplay between these forms through the medium of the soul. This is known, what I'm talking about here is all known from the esoteric community. Within esotericism, there is a concept called the anima mundi. Anima mundi is a central universal energy that we perceive as the soul or sentient factor in matter itself and developing soul sensitivity and reaction to the energy in any form that will be training. Its objective is to bring this consciousness to group members, this group awareness. Teaching on the anima mundi accepts that all living, that all outer living entities have an intrinsic connection that binds all living things on the planet together with soul and intelligence. This great entity manifests through matter and underlies all forms, whether it is an atom, a man, a planet, a solar system, or a galaxy. The concept of the anima mundi is responsible for the myriad of forms, the web of life, and the array of sentient beings. We see examples of the varying states of sentiency registered in things such as the nervous system or the brain by the human being who registers emotion and thought. Just livingness there. There's a concept of livingness and sentiency. Although the one life pervades all forms of the solar system with intelligence, life, and consciousness, this great being remains aloof and withdrawn. Besides creating soul and intelligence, the one life produces a third factor, which is consciousness. Throughout our solar system and the universe, matter produces a responsiveness and conscious awareness manifesting as intelligent activity. This intelligence is representative as an attractive energy, coherency, sentiency, aliveness, and awareness or consciousness in matter. Also, DK says, owing to the difficulty of this task, the members of this eighth group, which is the psychologist, will be chosen from the personnel of other groups, science, educator, and telepathic communicators, for they will have to have a fair measure of training in their preliminary work. So there will be a collaboration with other groups. From a spiritual point of view, the soul is considered the incorporeal essence of a person, and it is said to be immortal and transcendent of material existence. If the scientist speaks of the soul, it is usually spoken of in a materialistic context or understood as studying the function of the physical brain. In their view, neuroscience, for example, is the only branch of scientific study relevant to understanding the soul. Possibly done through the Institute of Noetic Sciences or IONS. The challenge is to define and acknowledge the existence of the soul continues. So this is also being done at the Institute of Noetic Sciences predominantly by Dr. Dean Radin, R-A-D-I-N. Although mainstream science or psychology hasn't accepted the fact of the soul, there are many who provide at least philosophic basis for it. In the book, The Secret Life of Plants by Peter Tompkins and Christopher Bird, they provide evidence and examples of how humans and plants are intelligent beings and communicate with each other. Their studies involve the study of soul qualities in the lower three kingdoms of nature. There are marine biologists already acknowledge that dolphins and whales are at least as smart in birds as birds and primates. Like primates, dolphins and whales are mammals. Dolphins and their kin are only marine animals that have passed the self-awareness test from their point of view. Are there any questions at this point? Questions or comments going on?
No, I don't see any.
Very good, let's continue. So with Seed Group 8, there's also this concept of the psychologist as therapist. As healers of the individual psyche, the psychologist therapist will help the patient to overcome any psychological impediments that block soul integration or their capacity for rendering service. This will also lead to right character building, which I'll talk about in more detail in next month's talk on education, Educators in the New Age. As a therapist, the future psychologist will arrive at an understanding of how forces and thought forms affect the human mind and can cause psychological imbalance, such as in the etheric and astral bodies. Today's behavioral and transpersonal psychologists use therapy to establish deeper connection with the human psyche and the soul and demonstrate deeper parts of human nature, such as at the subjective levels. They will work, or and some of them are already working, to showing the patient can develop powers latent within himself, such as focusing energies of cooperation and goodwill and better understanding of his fellow brothers and sisters. If he or she has a stuck energy or a trauma, for example, they're trying to get through. The psychologist will help to stimulate the minds of men, individuals, so that the alignment can take place. They act primarily as channels of communication between the soul in any form. And this is hearkening back to the concept of the anima mundi, that there's life in all forms, in all levels of matter and energy. Psychologists will help to help with the study of man as a whole person and help the individual understand that too. See one as a functioning unit or as a whole in relation to the environment and to people, so they don't see themselves as separate. The psychologist will help to provide right adaptation, correct integration and coordination as to life of usefulness, fulfillment, and service. So that's basically helping to heal the psyche and the personality for better soul integration and how the person can be a better functioning person in understanding consciously who they are as a soul and rendering service. So let's talk now about the collaboration of psychologists and the magnetic healers. And again, the magnetic healers that I talk about, this is in today's world, which includes doctors, medical professionals, et cetera, healers. And we're also talking about for the future too. In today's world, alternative healers are already working in collaboration with psychologists and psychiatrists and allopathic doctors and trained esoteric workers to heal the physical, mental, and etheric complaints in the patient or group. Healers and psychologists of the future will collaborate for identifying physiological effects in mental and in the mental emotional bodies when the individual exhibits hate, fear, anxiety, selfishness, obsession, and learn how it is a detriment to soul alignment and coordination of the whole being, or creating a wholeness in the person or group. From a strictly healing consideration, the psychologist and the magnetic healer could collaborate for recognizing that healing energies come from the soul via the plane of the intuition. Just as with the magnetic healers, the psychologist will facilitate healing of the personality and the physical etheric form by working with the vital forces of the etheric body. For collaboration between the magnetic healers and psychologists, methods will be taught, such as visualization techniques, breathing exercises on how to align the personality, its lower threefold nature, mental, emotional, physical, with the soul and bring about soul integration. So I want to make a brief comment about breathing exercises. When the individual is consciously breathing, he is controlling the breath for a period of time. This is now consciously breathing. or focusing on the breath. This can be for seconds or up to minutes. The holding of the breath actually oxygenates the blood and can cause an expansion of consciousness. This much is known. However, when the consciously aware disciple, individual, aspirant, whatever, senses the change in consciousness, he injects thought control during the breathing session and can transform energies of the etheric body, such as in the nadis and the chakras. So there can be a conscious healing there by using the breath. When the unknowing disciple or aspirant dabbles in the force of the breath, he can hold an ideal or thought form in his mind while he is breathing. As with any esoteric force or energy, this results can vary and can be good or bad depending upon the motivation. If the individual wants to expand his consciousness, it is recommended he does this gradually and under the guidance of the soul. Having a spiritual practice in performing meditation, spiritual study, and loving service will naturally lead the same results, such as integrating with the soul. Using these techniques will undoubtedly take more time, but with less consequences when rightly applied. Working directly with the soul, the disciple or the aspirant will be able to align with right motive, intent, and purpose, particularly in meditation. For safe and effective results, this will happen when the disciple is coordinated in these thoughts with right motive and spiritual will, when they're all brought together under the direction of the soul. A right orientation toward life and the world of the soul can certainly be the work of future psychologists. In other related subjects on collaboration between the psychologist and magnetic healer, we can talk about this through the world of education. It'll be about teaching humanity about the true nature as being a soul and therefore divine. There will be methods taught about how to align the threefold nature within the soul and bring about soul infusion so that the soul can communicate directly with the physical brain and thus control his lower nature. He can consciously control his lower nature and fulfill its purposes. From this connection, man will develop his mental body and the intuition, thus allowing him to be able to ascertain knowledge directly for himself. If we think about from a social point of view, we once again can talk about how group relationships and interactions between individuals can be achieved. And we talked also about the readjustment of medical knowledge, about how the physical body, how it will be trained through the mind to be cared for better, treatment, protection. There'll be greater concepts of the comprehension of the laws of health. The psychologist can work with the medical profession in investigating the effects or the retention of the severed energies of force, which is basically the seven chakras, and how they affect the etheric body and therefore affect the glands and therefore how they affect the personality. And the soul and the plane of the intuition and how that is affecting the body and the work together in collaboration. They'll be teaching all this together. So I'd like to conclude here and basically put some last minute thoughts here, takeaways for understanding the significance of the magnetic healers and the group psychologists. For the healer of the future, the magnetic healer will work from the plane of the soul and radiate that energy directly into the patient. This could also involve the healer acting as a conduit for illumination of the Buddhic energy, and this will aid in offsetting any physical etheric irregularities and to help heal any psychological and personality misalignments. By healing at the group level, this will enable coordination and healing of the group patient thus allowing the group to become an instrument for the distribution of energy for carrying out a particular project or focus that the group may be wanting to do. So we understand that a group can also be anything from a group of people to a corporation or a nation. The thought that there is people, community, and the group working together toward a common goal. For the psychologists of the future, as we move closer and closer to scientific recognition of the soul, the mind-body connection will be more understood. And today, it is well known that when an individual holds anger and hate in his mind, it stresses his physical etheric body and the endocrine system, for example. The heart center closes down and the soul's influence for meditation or receiving impression is blocked. Man will learn how to study right reaction, referring to the understanding how qualities of energy and force and the ideas of light from the soul will characterize different groups in the future. We note in Dyna, in Discipleship New Age, Volume 1, DK says, the major task of the future psychologists will be to relate through approved techniques, the soul and the personality, leading to the revelation of divinity through the medium of humanity. So this is somewhat in the future, but it is having to do with ultimately a teaching and an education which will be brought forward and can help ultimately a major healing throughout society. Also, the future psychologist could be a consultant for providing an understanding and for demonstrating the laws of the soul and how it functions through members and leaders of all seed groups within society, such as the politicians, scientists, educators, economists, and thinkers, or even journalists. This will be important in defining how relationships will be interpreted wisely and broadly, and society will be taught his responsibility for providing a just direction of individual force, or I should say, the proper use of the will force, the energy of will. Well, that's all I have. Does anybody have any comments or questions or any discussion they want to have here?
I don't see any. Okay. Solandria says, what about working with children and their developing, I guess, development?
There's already, we already have the science of pediatricians, and they're already working with childhood diseases, which can be physical abnormalities to emotional abnormalities. There is a unfortunately, we have here in the Phoenix area, we have halfway houses for children. It's also for women and for children. Unfortunately, we have to have those things in today's world because of abuse of children. But I mean, this is part of the science of helping people deal with trauma and difficulties. So this is already the work of the psychologists of today's world. And it can also be working with the pediatricians, can also, of course, already working with the level of medicine with children also in special diseases and problems that are characteristic and specialized for children. That is definitely a part of the science of the healers and for the psychologists of the present time and for the future.
I just also want to mention that there was something, she actually says developing soul energies and assisting them. But I also wanted to mention that CDP, she was one of the disciples and she passed on early, relatively early of all the disciples. And DK tells us that she continued her work with the group on the other side and that she was assisting the children who had gone through the war.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're talking about, like in Europe, for example, we're talking about serious trauma that took place where children lost their parents on a bombing or something. And then they have to deal with that trauma. And maybe they didn't get healed initially and they carried that trauma throughout their life. And that psychologically affects that child on conscious and subconscious levels in how he or she responds or reacts to situations of other people and situations. So we're talking about major healing that needs to take place on many levels, not just for children, of course, this is just for everybody. But yes, there certainly is a trauma, unfortunately, that has to be reconciled, that we have to work with this to bring forth a concept of ultimate brotherhood and the sisterhood. And that has to do with uniting the soul in consciousness. And in order to do that, we have to work on anything that blocks the soul energy from being fully consciously realized on all levels. So this is the major goal of the hierarchy, the plan, et cetera. So.
And I didn't mean to step on Salandria's point there, that, you know, she was talking about developing soul energies and assisting children with that.
Oh, I think it's absolutely critical for developing a concept of the soul and teaching that to children. It's simply saying, you know, that we are subjective beings. We are beings of light. You know, that we're first born as human beings. We're not born as wealthy or poor, but we're not born as intelligent or not intelligent. We are born first as human beings. Then you go from there, and then you start understanding more things that are connected with who that individual personality is and who they are developing into. But first of all, and primarily, we are souls incarnate. And that understanding is really critical, I believe, to impart to every single person from birth.
Okay, and then Jessica says, there seems to be a natural alignment with seed group 3 and seed group 8. Would you generally consider seed group 8 different from magnetic healers? And if so, could you briefly elaborate on that?
I think of the magnetic healers, seed group 3, I think of them basically working with a particular abnormality, basically on the physical and etheric level. They could be working on a psychological level, and that's where they would overlap, because the psychologist therapist can also be working with psychological complaints from the patient also. So they definitely could collaborate and overlap there. They could even work with sharing medical knowledge together and simply saying, well, how do we heal this patient? Why don't you work, you know, you, the magnetic healer, why don't you work on the physiological part of it and the etheric energy, and let me work on the psychological, working with the psyche and marrying those two together and allowing for the soul energy to come forth and work together and to help heal and bring healing to this patient. This is how I would approach that or look at that.
That's all I see right now. I don't see any more chats or hands up.
Yeah, again, if you want to, you know, there's been a lot of compilations in the Bailey teachings, and one compilation I have not seen, at least that I'm not aware of, is a compilation on esoteric healing. And that, of course, basically, I think DK and Alice Bailey are largely talking about diseases and issues coming from the psyche and from the physical form and dealing with those and how to heal those on a soul level. I mean, it's dealt with through the many different compilations on subtle levels, but maybe I can be corrected, but I don't know of any specific compilation that deals directly with esoteric healing. So the book Esoteric Healing, the compilations, in my mind, the purpose of them is to get more of a consolidated understanding about what DK and Alice Bailey are saying into a more condensed form. Whereas if you read the entire book, you're going to get a very comprehensive understanding, but it takes time to go through it. So, but I'm not a professional a healer or a psychologist or anything, but I can certainly make comments on this from a soul point of view and where we are going for healing. But I would encourage anybody who's in the medical profession to work with esoteric healing and put together a compilation. That would be fabulous to see that sometime in the near future.
I just want to say that my understanding of esoteric healing, I read it separately and I read the other books separately, but there's a reason that it's lumped into that series of four on the Raisin initiation, on esoteric astrology, on yes. esoteric psychology 1 and 2, because each of them have a piece of the pie that is related. You know, it is all about the energy system. It's about the chakras. It's about the way everything interacts, and that can be astrologically, it can be rheology, and it can be psychological. So, the compilation would be huge, but
yes, that's my point.
That,
right.
Yeah, that was the moral to my story. So,
well, yeah, it's when I don't remember the exact history when Alice Bailey did this with DK. They basically put five volumes together, and volume 4 is a treatise on the seven rays, and you have esoteric psychology 1 and 2. That's volume 1 and 2. Esoteric astrology is volume 3. Volume 4 is esoteric healing, and volume 5 is raising the initiations. And this was obviously a comprehensive understanding about how the seven rays affect all life and humanity and all the kingdoms on this planet. And that's a remarkably generic understanding of the whole thing. It's much more involved than that, but that's essentially a study, you're right, on the rheology and how that affects and this will be something the esoteric psychology of the future will be studying, is rheology and how that affects people and how it affects other seed groups. And like I said, they will become consultants. They can be hired out as consultants to say, why is this organization working and this one is not? Or why is this part of society, like racial problems, for example? Or what is the psychology of the different minds that are working in the Middle East crisis right now? You know, we're talking about some serious information and understanding that basically the average people would not understand, but that would come forward with a deep connection with the soul and even the hierarchy, for that matter, for healing and understanding. So, okay, I have to conclude now because I personally have to go on and take care of some personal needs in a family crisis going on right now. Next month I will be focusing in December. I will be focusing on Seed Group 4, Educators in the New Age. And we'll be talking only about the Educators in the New Age. And then we get into January and February, we'll be talking about the Seed Group 5, the political organizers. And so we're going to see how, I'm going to try to make the connection about how many of these groups are working together. And then you'll start to see an overlap, if you know the concept of a Venn diagram, of how the different groups can overlap with each other. And so I've already started talking about this, but I think it's understanding that the hierarchy at the ashramic level already understands this. It's just me as a disciple of whatever degree of trying to understand this myself and put this together and impart this. So it's just, I'm hoping this could be an interesting study we can do together. So next month, Educators the New Age. Thank you all for listening. And if you want to hear this again, of course, this is going to be posted to Makara, and you'll get all the more detail on this and my notes too.
Right. And I just want to say that is going to be on the 11th of December at 8 p.m.
Excellent.
Okay. 8 p.m. GMT. So goodbye, everybody.
Take care. Thanks for listening.